I want to thank everyone for coming out today to our announcement so that we'll talk a little bit about the country of origin labeling repeal bill that Jim Costa and I introduced yesterday. It's bill number 2393, and we'll mark it up in the committee in the morning. I want to thank everybody for being here. The reason for the expeditious action on this is that there's no question in my mind that the mandatory country of origin labeling requirements for beef, pork, and poultry need to be repealed, and it's a pretty straightforward deal. It doesn't take a lot of study. We've been talking about this for a long time. Obviously, the panel announced their decision yesterday to that we were no longer in compliance. I do not intend to wait for the retaliatory measures to be developed. We lost, and whatever those amount is going to be, it's too much. And so rather than keep those industries who might be a part of that retaliatory measures in limbo and the impact that it has on their ability to do business between our three countries, the House will move quickly to get this thing settled. So I want to thank my co-sponsor on the bill, Jim Costa, and I have been advocates for a long time about repealing COOL. This is narrow, it's targeted, and it will be bring stability to the conversation as we move this thing forward. So we've got a list of folks who want to talk, and given the humidity and the heat, brevity will be appreciated. So, Jim, any comments that you have with regard to this issue?
Thank you very much, Chairman Conway, for your efforts on this very important issue to American agriculture. I want to thank my colleagues who are here as well for co-sponsoring this important legislation. Mandatory government-run country of origin labeling has simply not worked, notwithstanding good intentions. We're standing here to say that we've introduced legislation to repeal the country of origin labeling that deals with beef, pork, and chicken, poultry products, and hopefully resolve this climate of uncertainty, this cloud that has lingered between ourselves and Canada and Mexico, which are among our largest trading partners. A recent United States Department of Agriculture study showed that consumers did not factor into their purchasing decisions whether or not the products were labeled. And, of course, the producers were not getting a return on the premium because of that. We saw increased costs in the production of both beef, pork, and poultry products as a result of that, attempting to remain separate lines for identification of the animals that were sourced from different countries. It was a problem. It continues to be a problem. And as Chairman Conway so succinctly put it, we lost, we lost, we lost, and we lost. I suggested to our friends with the USTRS last fall, why don't we just not appeal this the fourth time, and why don't we find a resolution? Unfortunately, that was not the case. Now Congress is acting. Yesterday, the World Trade Organization definitively ruled against us. For the fourth time. Now, let me just tell you for a snapshot. I know it is warm, and I'll follow the chairman's advice, but that for California, and as we all say, politics is always local, the retaliation of California products, I know, are going to be significant. My family has been a part of California's agriculture for three generations. The Canadian government has already published its list of commodities that will be subject to retaliatory measures, and we estimate that it could cost California alone over $1 billion, over $1 billion. These imports impact table wine and grape products. They involve a host of other fresh fruits and vegetable products in California. And those who are consumers of California wine in Canada or in Mexico are going to see the prices increased. And obviously, that's not a good thing. So this will be detrimental not only to California, but to U.S. trade. And the fact is we've had an experience in this. Some of you may remember about 3-4 years ago, we had the Mexican trucking issue. And we chose to follow a different course. Mexico rightly retaliated, and it impacted American agricultural markets, especially in California, to a tune of $2.6 billion in retaliatory tariffs that affected a lot of U.S. agriculture and manufacturing products. So no one wants to see that occur. And therefore, we need to avoid that. This legislation will avoid that. Mr. Chairman, we look forward to the hearing tomorrow and working with you and our colleagues in the Senate and the administration to make a difference and get this done.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm going to ask each of the speakers to come up, introduce themselves, tell you who they are, and offer up their brief comments. So Dave Rouser will be next, Chairman.
The last subcommittee. Subcommittee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your leadership and that of Representative Costa on this very important issue. I represent southeastern North Carolina, the 7th Congressional District in North Carolina. I have two counties in particular, Sampson County and Dublin County, that are probably two of the largest livestock-producing counties in the country. I was around in 2002 working for U.S. Senator Jesse Helms during that Farm Bill Conference. This was a dumb idea then, it's a dumb idea today, and we're going to repeal it in the House and make it right, and I hope the Senate will move forward quickly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hi, I'm Vicki Hartzler from Missouri's 4th Congressional District. I'm also a cattle producer, and this is something that I have heard about from my producers and livestock owners in Missouri for a long time. And yesterday it proved very true that this is a program, a government-mandated marketing program that has not proven effective. It hasn't worked for both consumers or producers, and that's why it needs to be repealed. The facts are clear now. The USDA COOL program is an unnecessary trade barrier that's bad for our livestock producers and could have far-reaching negative impacts for our entire economy. Representative Costa talked about the impact to California. Well, in Missouri, it will also have a very negative impact if we do not overturn this, to the tune of $623 million. So the only solution to this failed experiment in public policy is full repeal of the country of origin labeling. The consumers have shown they're unwilling to pay the additional costs, and producers are fed up with the additional mandates. So it's time now to all come together, repeal this harmful law, and move forward and then help our economy. Thank you.
Kurt Schrader from Oregon. Yeah, for those that are interested in COOL, gave it our best shot. It's just not possible to do that. In the light of some of the current trade discussions we're having, it's probably inappropriate to be doing that. In the Pacific Northwest, where I'm from, commingling of beef products, Canadian and American sources, is common. And studies have shown that the cost to implement COOL is over $2 billion. It's a fiscally right thing to get rid of it at this point in time. And I think for a global interchange in commerce to make America still a world leader, it's time to move on and get rid of COOL, and proud to be part of the movement and the group here.
Fred.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm from Nebraska, and my family came to Nebraska in the 1850s and started farming then in northeast Nebraska. There's no other issue that I've heard more about since I came to Congress than this issue, whether it's from farmers or producers, and I appreciate the comments of Mr. Costa and the chairman. I wholeheartedly support the bill and look forward to the debate. We have we export $1 billion worth of beef to Canada and $2.3 billion of ag products generally. This would have a detrimental effect on my state and I think the nation as a whole. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. We also have Ted Yoe, who here is adding to the pretty faces in the crowd. I appreciate Ted's keen interest in this issue. The next group of folks that will talk will be the producers and those who will be potentially impacted by COOL if we do not, in fact, repeal it and bring this certainty to the table. So first up will be John Murphy, representing the Chamber of Commerce. John?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And to the rest of the members here today, thank you for your leadership. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce strongly supports the bill introduced here to repeal the COOL rule for beef, pork, and chicken. After years of trade litigation, the United States is out of options. The only path forward here is to repeal this rule so that we can avoid billions of dollars in trade retaliation. The Chamber and the National Association of Manufacturers, from whom you'll hear shortly, we're co-chairing the COOL Reform Coalition, which brings together a broad array of businesses in many sectors of the economy, because this retaliation by Canada and Mexico could affect so many different parts of our economy. You can go to our website, www.coolreform.com, for a map where you can see by state what are the products that are targeted here. So we need to move, and we need to move quickly. The retaliation in play here could come as soon as later this summer. These are our two most important export markets in the world. 14 million American jobs depend on trade with Canada and Mexico. Also, at a time that we all recognize that 95% of the world's consumers live outside of our market, we need to live by the same rules that we're asking others to live by. There's too much at stake. So thank you very much again for your leadership, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of you. Thank you.
I'm Bobby Cook. I'm president and CEO of the Wine Institute. Retaliation by Canada and Mexico would potentially do hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to U.S. wine exports from California, Washington, Oregon, New York, Michigan, and other wine-growing states. Canada is our largest export market, responsible for nearly one-third of our export sales. Retail sales of California wine in Canada totaled $1 billion in 2014, surpassing Italy and France for the first time. We now have the largest market share in Canada. Over the past 5 years, California wine sales and U.S. wine sales have grown 78% in Canada versus the overall market, which only grew at 16%. It has taken decades for us to build this market in Canada, and it would be irreparably harmed in an instant if Congress does not act. And the market share instantly lost would take years to recover. In Mexico, we have seen how trade disputes and retaliatory tariffs have harmed U.S. wine sales multiple times. Mexico has raised the tariff on wine in unrelated trade disputes, and we've seen lost market share and lost sales that have taken years to regain. So we applaud Chairman Conaway, Representative Acosta, and all the members of Congress here today for taking swift action on this vitally important trade matter. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Linda Dempsey. I'm with the National Association of Manufacturers, the largest industrial association here in the United States and the voice for the 12 million men and women who make things in America. You might ask why manufacturers care about the cool issue. Well, I'll tell you, because the United States' continued failure to bring the cool labeling rules for muscle cuts of meat into compliance with our international obligations is threatening retaliation on manufacturers across America by our two largest export markets, Canada and Mexico. Canada and Mexico already purchased $485 billion in manufactured goods in 2014. With the fourth loss of the cool case in the WTO, retaliation is now imminent, and it could be in the billions of dollars affecting manufacturers and other businesses in every state. Indeed, we've already started to see the repercussions of this as manufacturers and other businesses are feeling the threat of the retaliation that's going to come down. And once we lose those sales, as we saw with the Mexican trucking case, we may lose those sales not just for weeks or months, we may lose them for years, if not ever. It is absolutely imperative that Congress move on the legislation that Chairman Conaway, Mr. Costa, and all the co-sponsors have introduced to repeal this legislation now, without which our manufacturers are going to face harder problems exporting to our biggest market. At a time when we've seen a resurgence in manufacturing, in significant part due to exports, now is the last moment to try to turn our back and allow other countries to put WTO-authorized retaliation on our products. We urge the Congress to move quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to be here. My name is John Weber. I'm a pork producer from Dysart, Iowa, and president-elect of the National Pork Producers Council. Exports add significantly to the bottom line of every U.S. pork producer. And last year, the pork industry shipped more than $6.7 billion worth of pork, or 27% of our total production, to foreign destinations, adding more than $63 to the value of each and every pig marketed. Considering those numbers, we cannot afford to have exports disrupted by retaliatory tariffs on our products, particularly since Canada and Mexico are our number three and number two customers. Restricting our access to those markets, which tariffs would do, will cost my industry jobs. But as you are hearing, the tariffs likely will be put on a host of U.S. products and therefore will negatively affect industries throughout the U.S. economy. Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes has calculated that a $2 billion $2 billion in retaliation, and it could be much more than that, would result in 17,000 lost U.S. jobs. We cannot afford that. We must avoid retaliation. Congress must act now to repeal the U.S. country of origin labeling law. There is not time for anything else. I know the tariffs would be financially devastating for U.S. pork industry, and I'm sure they would have a negative impact on a host of other agricultural and non-agricultural sectors. Congress must be prepared to repeal the offending parts of the statute to bring the U.S. into compliance with WTO rules. Congress should not allow retaliation against pork producers and other sectors of the U.S. economy. There has never been a more important time to send a clear signal that U.S. is willing to live up to its WTO obligations. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Philip Ellis, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and a cow-calf rancher from Wyoming, Northern High Plains, where it's 48 degrees right now. So I'd melt. U.S. cattle producers, independent cattlemen like myself, have long opposed the U.S. COOL rule. COOL is a broken program, and it is time to repeal this legislation before it does further damage to our industry and our trade relationships. I thank Chairman Conaway and his colleagues this morning for introducing this legislation to fix this program in the only way possible to avoid retaliatory tariffs by Canada and Mexico. Canada and Mexico are two of our three largest trading partners for the U.S. beef industry. That relationship accounts for over $2 billion of trade, about one-third of our total export sales. Right now, we are actively working to pursue other free trade agreements with countries around the world, breaking down tariff walls. Inaction on this COOL legislation threatens to erase the potential gains of these agreements. Not only would retaliation be a major step backward for the entire U.S. economy, it would signal to our current and potential trading partners that we do not play by the rules we support. As cattle producers, we are proud of the products we produce, and we produce the best beef in the world. As a fifth-generation rancher, I am proud of our long-standing traditions, and I also embrace the opportunity to compete at home and abroad. Continued economic analysis have shown that consumers do not use COOL information in their purchasing decisions. Despite implementation costs in excess of $1 billion for beef alone, these same reviews have found little or no economic benefit from this rule. It has resulted in discounts paid to producers, and it directly related to the closure of a number of processing plants and feedlots in the U.S. These economic casualties of a well-intentioned legislation are unacceptable. We support voluntary labeling efforts, giving the consumers the information they are looking for and rewarding the producers along the supply chain for meeting those specifications. I look at programs like Born and Raised in the USA, Laura's Lean, Nolan Ryan's Guaranteed Tender. These are programs that are run by the industry, and they work. They don't violate our trade obligations, and they pay premiums back to the producers like myself. A large part of this conversation is resolved around what consumers say they want when they are surveyed, but in my business, consumers vote with their pocketbook, and at the meat counter, consumers buy beef based on price and appearance, not on origin labeling. We support industry-led labeling efforts because we know that private industry can and does do better marketing our product with eye-appealing labels and standing behind promises with a guarantee. For all the hopes and aspirations, COOL will never be that. That is why I can say without a doubt, as a cattleman from Wyoming, it's a broken program, failed legislation, doesn't have a place in this country. Out on the ranch, we sometimes have a set of corrals or a fence or a piece of improvements that was built and we thought it might work, but eventually we realize that it's just in our way. So we try and herd cattle around it, we try and patch it and herd cattle through it, but eventually we realize the only real decision is just to take it down, clear it out of the way, and make our operation more efficient. And then after we do that, we kind of look back and think, well, dang, why didn't we do that years ago? And that's where we're at on COOL. Secretary Vilsack has said the USDA is at a loss on how to fix this rule, given the legislative language supporting what cattlemen have long maintained. There is no regulatory fix that will bring this rule into compliance with our international obligations. The only solution on the table is full repeal. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Philip. Thank you, everybody, that is presented. I want to thank my co-sponsors, Jim Costa, as well as all the other members who've gotten on the bill. We're over 55 to 60 co-sponsors now. So this train is leaving. It's not left the station. I want to thank the industry folks who came out today to participate in the conversation as well. We have time for a few questions or anybody? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Well, we'll mark it up in committee tomorrow, and we're working with leadership to get it on the House floor in early June. Yes, we're working with them in a very positive way, that we look like we'll be on the floor in early June. Well, when you ask that survey question in the generic, of course you get that answer. But when they go to the meat market, they don't use that same information to buy the meat, and this is simply reflective of that. The industries are doing, as Philip mentioned, a really good job of creating brands, creating marketing tools that allow consumers to see what that's going on. If they want to pay that premium, fine. But it's one thing to ask that question standing out here. It's something else to watch them in the supermarket as they walk to the counter, pick something up based on price and appearance as opposed to labor.
You wouldn't expect any amendments?
Full appeal. We'll see what happens, but it'll be on the committee tomorrow. In the morning at 10. Yes, ma'am. How what now? Well, we did the trade deal first, and then we put the law in place. And so this is simply us standing up with our agreements. We wouldn't want other countries to make a deal with us and then change their internal rules to get in violation of that rule. So it has nothing to do with sovereignty. We, with a free world choice, joined the World Trade Organization, agreed to these concepts, and then created a law that now, after four complete appeals, clearly is in violation of our agreement, of our handshake deal, or whatever you want to call it, with these other countries. So it's not a sovereignty issue. It's a matter of standing up to the deal that we agreed to.
No, the chairman's exactly right. I mean, the WTO acts as a umpire, calling balls and strikes. And clearly, we've agreed with the other nations that are part of the World Trade Organization that this has nothing to do with sovereignty.
Are you concerned that
I don't see these related at all. This is simply a deal that was made, came out of a 2002 Farm Bill law that we've lost every step of the way. We'll deal with it quickly. TPP's got a longer life to come to fruition, and this deal, I hope, is done, taken care of before that.
Yes, the press releases I've gotten from the senators say they're willing to consider any solution. If you can't get repeal through the Senate, do you have a plan B?
Full repeal is the solution. And so they're saying they'll take any solution. The best solution is a full repeal. It's clear, it's concise, it brings stability to the process, and it's targeted. So there's, my mind, there's a really shouldn't. And the other thing, the North American quote-unquote label has been rejected by our trading partners. So this is the solution.
But obviously we want to work with our colleagues in the Senate and the administration. We want to get this done. We don't want retaliatory pricing.
Well, those are broader issues that we're not really dealing with this morning. We're dealing with COOL, and we've lost the case now, convincingly. Those retaliatory measures are being threatened right now. The industries are being impacted because we've got people in Canada and Mexico who are not going to make a deal with an American producer if, in fact, a trade a retaliatory measure could be implemented on that during the life of that agreement. So it's already having a slowdown or negative impact on American businesses. And so narrowly focused, just like this legislation, we're laser focused on this deal, and we'll let the other pieces play out however they might be. But this issue is on the table tomorrow. I can't be responsible for whatever they might do. The right thing to do is to repeal this issue tomorrow. We'll do start that in the committee. However people will choose to use whatever arguments they use against free trade, against the TPA, it's got to be out there. There's really nothing I can do to narrow the focus of what they might or might not try to use to build and support their case.
Remember, those folks have a separate agenda, and they're against the trade agreements. That's fine, but they'll use anything out there to try to tie it up, and this might be one of them, but it's really not relative.
Yeah, last question, then we'll break up. You can talk to us individually. Yes, sir.
You've got a lot of Democratic co-sponsors for this bill, but you don't have ranking member Peterson on this. So as this eventually moves to the House floor,
I certainly do. It'll be a bipartisan passage on the floor. We'll see tomorrow on the committee how we work, but I anticipate that this will be a pretty straightforward vote on the floor, and it will be bipartisan support. We've already got bipartisan support with Jim and I, as well as Kurt and Brad on the deal as well, and others. So I do think it'll be bipartisan. Again, I want to thank everybody for coming out. The members will be happy to visit with you individually to get other quotes that you might want. So thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your work on it.